This is DEFCON 1, Sundar. And anybody comes in and they're treating it like DEFCON 5 or 4 or 3, take it serious, folks. And if you can't take it serious, Sundar, you have my permission. Out the door. Out the door. Nobody ever gets fired at Google. Now it's time to start firing people. You come 2 weeks in a row without progress, done.
This Week in Startups is brought to you by, with Mercury Raise, startup founders no longer have to navigate roadblocks alone. Visit mercury.com/raise to get access to a network, connections, and advice. Squarespace, turn your idea into a new website. Go to squarespace.com/twist for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use offer code TWIST to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. And Fitbod. Tired of doing the same workouts at the gym? Fitbod will build you personalized workouts that help you progress with every set. Get 25% off your subscription or try out the app for free when you sign up now at fitbod.me/twist.
All right, everybody, welcome back to This Week in Startups. It's Monday. It's Monday, which means it's Madra Monday. That's right. Sunny Madra is here for our This Week in AI demo. Sunny, welcome back to the program.
Good. Good to be back. Excited.
Yeah.
Things keep moving quickly. We got a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah. Let's go to a demo. Let's just go right to a demo. I know we got a couple of news stories. I know Stack Overflow. There's a story. There's a bunch of different stories, but I love when you demo stuff. Let's just get to it.
All right. Awesome. Let's get into the first one. So, you know, this is an area that we've all spent a bunch of time in. And so this product is called Trove.
Trove. And what is T-R-O-V-E, yeah. Trove.
Yeah, yeah. And their URL is GetTrove. So GETTROVE.co.
Okay.
And what this allows you to do is create a survey, which we all do. And we've used some products. You know, some of our close friends have been
involved with
and others.
Typeform. And then, of course, Qualtrics. Those are Qualtrics. All, you know, in that genre.
Exactly. And what this does is, you know, this kind of takes that to like a more modern workflow, which I thought is pretty cool. And so I've kind of pre-constructed one here. You can do one alongside me if you want, J.Cal, as well. So this one, I said I wanted to create a forum. The main objective is to collect thoughts on where the next All-In Summit should be.
Okay. It asks you for your main objective of the survey. And yes. You put in a form to collect thoughts on where the next All-In Summit should be located. The title is All-In Summit Locations. Yeah. And it asked you for a tone of voice. Very nice. Yes. And you picked witty. What were the other choices?
If I drop this down, it'll be professional, humorous, concise, sincere, sassy.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. I almost went sassy, but I'll go witty.
Yeah. You know, I was trying to give you credit there. And then, you know, the welcome message when you jump in. So it's going to create a chat based survey, which is really unique and you'll see it.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And so what, I did, hey, you know, welcome. We need your help in narrowing down where we should have the next All-In Summit.
If there is one. Yeah.
And,
you never know with this crew.
We never know. Exactly. And then I gave it just a few questions. What you'll see here is, what is your recommended location? Why do you prefer it? Is there a specific venue? Do you have any ideas for after parties? How much would you like to pay for the event to keep the event accessible but yet exclusive? And so you can see here, and I'll just kind of go further into this in a second, but you can see here on the right-hand side for those listening, I've got a chat going. So it drops in with sort of that initial starting prompt that we gave it. It says, so what's your recommended location? I said, I'm thinking NYC. It says, the Big Apple. Why do you think NYC is a perfect spot? I think NYC is incredible startup energy these days, right? NYC is definitely buzzing with startup energy. Now, if we were the host of the All-In Summit there, what would be a specific venue in mind?
Did you tell it what venue? Was that one of your sub questions?
No, that was one of my sub questions.
One of your sub questions. So
yeah.
Instead of doing this as like, here's a 4-question survey, it's just, hey, I'm going to dump you to a chat room, ask you the first question, then I'll follow up with those.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. I like that modality.
Me too.
Now, what if you ask something that's like off topic? So, if you said, who's going to speak at the event?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, or how much are tickets?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The event. Okay.
I hope this thing is smart enough to say, who do you want to see speak?
And so, what it does is
on track.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Before we dive into the after parties, let's focus on the speakers first. Who do you think would be the perfect lineup of speakers in New York City? And after that, we can talk about the epic after parties. Okay. So if you go to the left in the interface here, you had put the questions in what order? Let me see. What is your recommended location? Why do you prefer this location? Is question 2. Question 3 is there a specific venue? Great. Question four, any ideas for after parties? Question five, how much would you like to pay to keep the event accessible, but yet it be exclusive, right? The big question everybody has about All In Summit is how has it become VIP, but how do we make it bigger? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, folks, those are two different things. I love people who are upset at the summit that other people got to come on a scholarship and that they had to pay a full price ticket. It's like, okay, do you want to have like diversity at the event? Do you want to have interesting people at the event? Like, and what do you care if you're rich? Like, just relax. Anyway.
I'm with you.
And people are just...
Sonny, you got Jason all hot and bothered with this All In Summit first example.
You
just should
have you know, really, you're trying to tweak me here. No, you know, just for people who are wondering, you know, surveys are great. I like to do things and I don't care what, as an artist, and I do some things that are artistic, I don't want your feedback, to be totally honest. I want to create an experience and have you enjoy it. Like, you know, like if I go to a Scorsese movie, when I go see Killers of the Flower Moon, like I can't wait to see it. I don't want to tell Scorsese what I want in the movie. I want him to delight me and surprise me. I have nothing to add to his art. So if you come to something like All In, pay for your ticket if you can afford it. Apply for a scholarship if you can't. If you get lucky enough to get in on a scholarship and pay like $1,000 or something, a fraction of the price of the VIP people, everybody just enjoy the show. And if you don't like it, you don't want to take the risk, don't come. The end. That's it. We don't need your feedback, honestly. Yes. Like, and if you don't like the after parties or whatever, you don't have to go. Go have a party of your own. Go have dinner on your own. If you don't like the Barbie theme or the Blade Runner theme or the Godfather, the 007 theme, that's okay. You don't have to like every party. You like everything, every meal you've ordered. You like every restaurant you've ever been to? Of course not.
No. This hit a nerve. I didn't think it would. I was just trying to...
No, I'm just tired. You know what? It's some people over-index on feedback. And I just want to, like, literally, if you have 1,800 people come to something, there are 1% or 2% of people who will complain about everything. Just like there are people... You ever go to a hotel, Sonny, and you're like checking in or you're checking out or whatever, you're getting a bottle of water from the front desk and there's somebody next to you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know the person next to you?
They
are just hot and bothered.
Yeah.
Noise complaint. Yeah. My room didn't get turned over. My room service came too late. Yeah. It's like...
I had that exact thing happen to me last week. I was traveling and then I was down in LA and basically, someone was checking in. I was checking in, sorry, and the person beside me was staying there and was just had the list of complaints.
And it was, they had their list, yes.
They had their list, yeah.
I mean, there's an appropriate way to do this. Here's what I do. I come with an outcome in mind, and my outcome is never to berate anybody. My outcome is like, I want an upgrade, or I want a comp night, or I want a fruit plate, whatever, you know? And I'll just say to them, hey, a lot of times I just want them to do better. So I'll say, hey, listen, I don't know if you know this, but there is a huge construction site, you know, outside the window, and it starts at 7 a.m. And, I got in late. Maybe, you know, if there's a construction site, you can let the person know. I just want to let you know because it did detract from my experience. I just want to make sure, you know, like if you have somebody coming in late.
And I think they want to know that stuff. They want to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had this happen one time. I'll tell you, this is like, I ordered a cappuccino at the Edition when I was in Miami. And they charged me, and I am not kidding here, $11 for a cappuccino. And jeez, I got the bill. Okay. It was like $16. Like, oh, it's the wrong bill. Yeah. And it was like, they put the service charge in, they did everything. It was like $16. I literally had one cappuccino. And I said to the guy, I said, do you think if you charge $11 for a cappuccino, you should tell the person? Because that's like triple a Starbucks cappuccino. Like, I can afford it or whatever, but it's just really weird. He's like, I tell this all the time. Would you tell my manager? Because it's really like important for them to hear this. I said, sure, I'll tell your manager. Manager comes over. I said, listen, I'm in an $800 a night room. I understand I'm at the Edition. I just feel abused by an $11 cappuccino. That makes no sense to any human being. Like, if I was at like MetLife Stadium or something, I wouldn't, like, I would be offended. But at least they tell you you're paying $11 for a cappuccino or something.
You see it at the vendor stall, right? You see it right up
there.
Yeah,
and I said, if you're charging a great rate for the rooms, you're doing great, the hotel's packed, like, you don't actually need to do this. And it really is a turnoff. And so I just want to let you know, like, because I'm in the service business too. I'm going to consider myself in the service business. She said, I really appreciate you saying that. You know, we've had this discussion in the staff meeting and I'm going to bring it up one more time. And she goes, oh, by the way, it's comp. I said, no, I wasn't angling for comp. You don't need to comp it. No. She said, I insist. I said, well, okay. And I just took a $20 bill and I gave the guy a $20 tip. I said, I just to prove to you, this is not about the money. I'm giving the waiter a $20 tip. So he can, you can charge me the $16. I give a $4 tip or you can just take the whole 20. I don't care. Wow. I get up to my room. I kid you not. I get back to my room that night. There's a giant fruit plate, not like a little mini cheap fruit plate, not like a Sky Dayton, you know, filler fruit plate, but like a literally legitimate with blackberries and blueberries. Yeah. It's not Cabana 1.0. It's like Sky Dayton 2.0 fruit plate. Yeah. I get the really good fruit plate and a bottle of champagne. I kid you not. A Veuve-Clicquot yellow label. That's like $1.25 and the fruit plate has to cost like 30. And she just wrote me a really nice note. I really appreciate like you giving us the note, whatever. Mr. Calacanis.
But that's a different kind of feedback than, you know, what we're talking about here.
There's an approach to giving feedback with love and kindness and with intent. Like, I think the intent really matters. So I always wonder when people, but anyway, I like this kind of survey format. I think this is easily replicable. I think everybody will have this as an option. But I love the idea that the startup is thinking this way. What else can it do? Is there anything else here? Because
Let's let me get my sharing.
Because this seems very 1.0 to me. I'll be honest. Like, you know, somebody can whip this. I could have one of my startups in Founding University whip this up in 72 hours. So where's this all going? There's got to be some destination here, right?
Well, yeah. Like, so I think that's a good point. Let's maybe double click on that for a second. I think one of the things that we're seeing is an incredible ability to create, you know, what would have been products before. Obviously, we've seen an entire business created on this type of thing as just a feature. And this is, it's a good kind of segue into maybe our third demo, which I'll jump to right away, is that the ability to kind of create stuff quickly. I think what this shows is a new user interface. I think we're entering the era of chat. It kind of aligns up with what you're saying. You know, we didn't finish this, but like, I think this feedback form, you know, when aggregated and put together, will be more valuable for the end, the person looking for the feedback as well.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of seeing a thought process rather than people checking off boxes.
Yeah. So why don't we do this? I came to the last event. Let's just type this in. Okay. I came to the last event and I would rather have a sit down dinner than food stations. You know, I get that advice a lot. I like to do food stations that are open the whole 3 hours and you can get food whenever you want and you can get, you know, you can eat in whatever order you want. I don't like sitting down and then you're late and then there's three course deal with bad chicken. Got it. Yeah. So for the next Wellness Summit, you would prefer a sit down dinner to keep things classy, or are you open to exploring other food options? And speaking of exclusivity, how much would you like to pay to keep the event accessible? It's keeping you on track. So but
it's capturing this for you as well, which I think is great, which you wouldn't get if you just put four questions there that all you were looking for.
Yeah, I would just to say I would pay $5,000 to $10,000. Let's see. So now I guess the results and how it organizes these results, because we're giving chat-based results. You know, one of the nice things about doing a form is that you can force a number. So I would have asked, what dollar amount is the amount you want to pay for this, and what's the most you would pay? I would ask it in two forms there. But anyway, that's pretty good. And then I would build a chart, right? If I actually cared about people's feedback.
And you can give answer options and do all that.
I see that. Yeah.
So I think this is really incredible. Like, obviously, you know, people can replicate it quickly. But, you know, that said, this team has come up with it. You should give it a try. And, you know, we'll go from there. I think it's...
startups... where you start is not where you finish. So what will happen here is maybe they'll figure something out. Like, I didn't see it suggesting new questions for us.
Yeah. But
what it should do is after the first, you know, as people are answering this, it should suggest to you, people keep bringing up sit down dinners. Do you want to ask a question about what you prefer? So if it's actually with suggesting questions, that's where I think this could get very powerful. Like, you know, and sometimes machine learning does that already, you know, or they just add like, here are five common questions, like a wizard, but this would be really interesting if the-
This is what I refer to as AI all the way down, because the beauty AI would be-
all the way down.
Which is like the output of this goes into another system, which then has AI looking at that, then saying, hey, we should modify the questions, right? So your whole stack from top to bottom in this new world order should be AI kind of all the way down.
Hmm. AI all the way down is a really good idea here. I agree. I will give Trove the survey. I give it a B. It's a solid B. Good start. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to hate on it. It works. Yeah, it works well. It's a single utility. I mean, it might be a C+, actually, B-. I'll give it B-. There's like a lot it can do, but it's a good start. It's clean interface. I like it. Good start. It's not transformative yet. I don't think it's, you know, made the... I think the best is yet to come for that app. And the best yet to come is going to be analyzing the results and telling me what I should be doing in the survey as opposed to just doing the survey in a chat format.
Would you fund a company taking on Qualtrics or SurveyMonkey?
I have, actually. We have one. Yeah, we have one that we have one in the current law. Yeah. In LA 29. Okay. I haven't been on the show.
Oh, really?
But yes, of course I would. Okay. I would taking on anybody who's got a big, large business is worth it because there's two or three possibilities. You know, one, you fail, and then we know exactly what we lose. So just to give people an idea, if it's an accelerator company, we know we've lost $100,000. But then, you know, and that's kind of like your blinds. That's your big blind. That's your see the flop bet. You see the flop and you flop something nutty and something really juicy. You know, maybe we put another 250 in, another 500K in. So we're in for 350 to 600K. But we typically own at that point, call it 7, 8, 9, 10% of the company. So let's put it at 8% of the company.
Is that your target?
My target is to get to 10% in the likely winners and 15% in the winners. So in our fund structure, half the dollars, half of the 100 million goes towards the top 30 to 40 companies out of the 400 in the portfolio. So if our portfolio construction is 400 accelerator companies, founder university companies, early stage direct invests, we tend to get to call it 8, 9, 10% in that early stage. And then we wait and see. If something does really pop off, then we have another 50 million in the fund. If we raise this $100 million fund, we're at 50 now, which I assume we'll glide into that. Then we could put a million or 2 million into those winners. So when they're at a $20 million valuation, we can buy another 5 or 10% of the company. If we buy 5% of the company, we get to 15% in the next superhuman, calm, or you know, Uber or Robinhood, which would be
Robinhood.
Skis.
All right.
So that's really that's the betting strategy.
And we're going to see some in this era. We're going to see some in this era.
I mean, I'm more excited now than I've ever been. So like for a company like Trove, would I have them in our accelerator? Heck yeah. I'll make that 100K bet. That's an easy one. And, you know, if they had 10K a month in revenue and it was worth 5 to 10 million, I might make a 250K bet. Sure.
Yeah.
If I like founders, if they're builder founders, right? Two or three founders who know how to build product and they got good product velocity, all that would be contribute to making an investment in that company. Yes.
And then, you know, Qualtrics, the guy from Qualtrics owns the Jazz.
Yeah. He's just on the podcast this summer. He was here for All Star Summer.
Ryan. Oh, wow. Ryan was on. That's amazing.
Ryan's a friend. Great. I'm B minus.
I'm B plus. Okay, I think it, you know, and I haven't gone through the whole product. Look, I'm a builder. That stuff's hard, you know, so we're coming at it from different places. But like, look, I think it's a great first implementation. I've actually got to go through the whole product, see what the reporting side of it looks like. And then that, but I do think there's room to do that loop around helping me come up with the questions. But
yeah, for sure.
I'm going to implement it. Actually, we're going to use it for a survey we're about to send out to some customers. So
yeah, do it.
We're
Let me know. It right away. Follow up with me. All right. Goes, and shout out to the Trove team. Congrats. Being a founder is one of the most amazing journeys you could ever go on. I suggest you do it, but you got to know it's going to be hard and sometimes it's going to be a little bit lonely. But with Mercury Raise, you don't have to go it alone. This is an amazing new program from Mercury. I'm part of it, in fact. Mercury Raise is a founder success platform that's built to remove the roadblocks at every step of the founder journey. And this is going to help you with the number one thing that founders tell me they need, money. Yes, Mercury Raise gives you access to investors. And then they give you access to industry experts. And finally, they connect you with fellow founders. What a great idea. It's like what I do in my accelerator, except it's open to everybody, not just people we invest in. So here's how you use it. And a lot of my founders have been using it, and I'm super happy about this. If you're fundraising, you submit your pitch and you get in front of hundreds of investors who are looking actively to fund businesses like yours. And I'm in that database and I have found good companies in there. If you're looking for guidance, you can tune into unfiltered conversations with industry experts. And if you're craving some community, which I know you are, you can meet fellow founders and navigate similar challenges. So here's your call to action. Mercury Raise was created to help founders navigate obstacles so more startups can become success stories. It's that simple. They care. And you can take your startup to the next stage with Mercury Raise by visiting mercury.com/raise. That's mercury.com/raise. So, hey, to the folks who built it, keep grinding.
Yeah.
Keep grinding.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great work. Okay. I'm going to jump forward a bit just in terms of like some of the ideas that, you know, we were talking about here, like how fast this is to create. So earlier this week, we saw this, you know, folks got wide access to ChatGPT with Vision. You know, we did one of the first demos here. And someone did something pretty cool. They took just a screenshot of the calculator app, provided a little prompt that said, hey, you're a software developer, make this for me. And so I tried to basically recreate that because I was intrigued by it. So here, in my window. I took a screenshot of the calculator app,
right,
provided a similar prompt. And basically, it created, asked it to create the HTML. Jake, you remember this from your early days, would have been a pain to do this. It said, hey, give me the JavaScript for the functionality. So it's not only the UI for it, and it's also the functionality. Then I said, hey, give me a file that I can download. And ultimately, and I'll just show some interesting uniques and tweaks. So it did it. It didn't do it complete. And this is sort of my mistake. So I want to give a warning to folks that think it can just be like a complete start from here and finish. Because if I go back, and I'm just flipping back and forth between some tabs here for the folks listening, the code it's given me is not fully complete. And you can kind of look in here, and it says, you can continue creating rows of buttons like the one above. So it gave me a zero, a all clear, a plus, percentage, and a divide.
Gotcha.
But it didn't give me the rest, and it obviously didn't give me the JavaScript.
I wonder if it's been asked to, in the AI, when you ask it a very complex question, in order to not waste GPUs and cycles, it says, give the first 10% of the answer and let people ask for more.
Yeah.
Like if I asked it to write an entire novel that was 50,000 words, I wonder if it would actually do that, or it would say, here's an overview, here's the first chapter, and then make me kind of tease it out so it doesn't, bog down the system with too much work.
I had the exact same thought, because after that happened, I basically went back and said, can you provide me the complete HTML and JavaScript so the calculator is fully functioning?
Yeah.
And, I've been trying this all morning, it keeps, and I think what's happening is something similar to what you're saying. I think they're so bombarded. This is really heavy workload on them. You know, generating this much code is a lot of tokens on the way out. I'm only paying them $20 a month. And so I think I'm getting totally throttled from, because, I've tried this for, a few hours this morning, and I couldn't get it to give me the complete. I keep getting this network error.
So you're being throttled for sure, which makes sense. Yeah. I understand them doing that. They have to preserve the user experience. It would be like if I said on YouTube, hey, download the entire channel. Like there are these Mark Knopfler bootleg concert channels, and I found an app called Downy. D-O-W-N-I-E.
Okay.
And I paid for it, and then it didn't send me the code. But anyway, what it lets you do is put in a playlist from YouTube or a channel.
Got it.
And then you can just like pick what you want to download. So there's like 20 concerts I really like. Yeah. I'd like to download them. I can't find them. I would pay for them too.
Why don't you just, download them into the YouTube app?
Because what happens is they get taken down, these channels. And then I got to search for it. And then I'm skiing, we're skiing, you and I, we ski sometimes together. I have a nice Mark Knopfler concert on, or a Dire Straits concert, or a Pink Floyd concert on. And then like the concert I really loved is gone. And so I just wanted to download it, right? So, YouTube doesn't let you bulk download kind of situation. But there was a report earlier this week to this point that, and I don't know if we talked about it last week, but GitHub was losing upwards of like $80 per month per user. Now, the CEO of GitHub says that's not true. So,
I was at the conference where they spoke about that, and they said it's actually, they're profitable on that. So there was kind of interesting. The report was completely opposite to what they said on stage at the AI Engineer Conference.
So once again, I'll just warn people, journalists have typically somewhere between 10 and 30% of the story when they write a story. Sometimes they'll get upwards of 50% of the story. Even if you're, even if you're Walter Isaacson and you get to spend 3 years with Elon, you might get 60% or 70% of the story, right? Like there's a percentage you can get reasonably. It's not a dig to journalists. I was one. I'm telling you from my time on the other side of the table. And then obviously the person who's in the company, who's the CEO, they probably have close to complete information, 80 or 90% of the information. Even in their own company, they might not have 10 or 20% of what's happening. People might hide stuff from them. They might not be aware of something that occurred. And in this case, I'm sure the CEO knows best compared to a journalist. And what happened was somebody leaked, hey, there's some users that are unprofitable. Of course, there's some users that are unprofitable in any all-you-can-eat program, whether it's, storage of photos or using of an AI copilot. But overall, they know how much they're spending, they know how much they're making, and they put those two numbers together. And net, at the end of the day, it's profitable, I'm sure.
Also, it was Matt Friedman, the former CEO of GitHub.
The former CEO.
Who built.
So he probably has 70% of the information, and the current person has 90%.
And just on that, a quick aside here, but basically, but just what that really meant is, they came out and they said it on stage right here that it's past 100 million ARR. And basically, that's $10 per month for Copilot. that's 830 devs because they have about 9 million devs on GitHub. So think about like
the 10% are using it. Yeah.
10% are using it. Exactly.
And that's just Copilot from GitHub. There are other options out there. So I'm shocked that only 10% of GitHub developers are using this right now. I thought it would be the, I thought it'd be 90%, but it might be they're talking about accounts and those accounts are, some of those are dormant accounts, right? So,
well, if you're paying the $10, you aren't dormant, right? Because you're
no. I'm talking about the 90% that aren't, right?
Oh, I don't know. There's something like 50 million developers worldwide now, isn't it?
Yeah, they said million? GitHub has 100 million user base, but I don't know the active user base. So active, I would want to know 830 of active. Let's say there's
I think they said that was 10%. That's what I heard.
Right. So maybe that, like, if it's 10%, they have 9 million actives. Right. So they have 9 million actives. 10% makes more sense to me than 1%. But that's, I mean, who's not using it?
Yeah.
Who's not using it? They must have another solution, maybe. Yeah.
Well, or, you know, like, people are still getting there, but like, what's crazy is, you know, and we've seen this in our business and I see it in other places as well, which is, you know, this point right here, if your team is using this, this is like airline Wi-Fi.
Read it.
Yeah, this is like airline Wi-Fi. Yeah. Like, it is. It could be $10 for the trip. It could be $50 for the trip. It could be $150. Like,
yeah, you're going to pay for the top end user, they're going to pay it. Yeah. So what they said in the tweet is, have heard from many enterprise AI leaders seeing meaningful productivity uplift, obviously, which aligns with people saying they'd pay $100 per month for Copilot. That makes sense. I mean, the top enterprise software like Salesforce or something like that is a couple of $100 per month per person. And if you're spending, or a Bloomberg terminals to that $20,000 a year. If you're a professional and you're getting paid over $100,000 a year, your boss is willing to pay low 1% to 5% of your salary to make you 10% more efficient.
Easy.
So that's really how you should look at it. If there was a way, actually, I could talk about producer Nick. Producer Nick has a $4,500 laptop. Now, my laptop costs, I think I have the best MacBook Air and it costs like $1,800. No, I'm the CEO and he's the producer. He's got a laptop, but he does video editing. So for him to have a $4,500 laptop and trade it in every 2 years for whatever the state of the art is, if it makes him 50% or 20% or 10% faster in editing This Week in Startups and All In,
I have the numbers actually if you want them.
Yeah, please. Let's hear it.
Average All In export went from 18 minutes video and audio together to 6 minutes. So it's three times faster.
Yeah. So you save 10 minutes per episode on export. That's just one function.
Yeah, times 50 episodes
is just one show. 500 minutes is 10 hours a year. 10 hours a year. Boom.
Yeah.
You know, over, and then you do it over the 2 year. That's one show. Yeah. And then you do the other four episodes. So you start getting to, you know, maybe if he's 500 minutes times five episodes. Yeah. You're talking about 2,500 minutes a year.
On Copilot, the Wall Street Journal reported, again, take that for what you will, more than 1.5 million people have used it so far. And it's helping, and of the people that are using it, it's helping build about half of the code for Copilot users, about 50%.
That makes sense to me, when I'm writing now and I get whatever software I'm using is giving me hints, I would say 1 out of 3 times I take the hint. If I write on the other and it's like hand, I hit the tab button. Usually it's tab to accept it. And it's like, I'll just tab. I'll take it. Sure.
Yep. What's your go-to keyboard on your, do you use the iOS keyboard or do you use Google?
I use Logitech keyboards, on my phone. No, I use
On your phone. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm using the regular iOS one. After I've written something, then I turn on Grammarly because the iOS one, when you're typing, is most accurate, even with the ducking and whatever.
Yep. Yeah.
The ducking mistakes.
You know the fix for that, right?
No.
In your settings. You can do shortcuts.
Uh-huh.
Just turn ducking into, Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So trucking, turning it to trucking. Yeah. Trucking, when I type trucking, it puts in ducking. If your landing page is terrible, I'm out, right? Most consumers are. It's 2023. You can't have an ugly website. Stop settling for okay or good and have great. And great means you're using Squarespace. It's out of the box, beautiful. These websites have templates made by the world's greatest designers that are going to engage your audience, let you sell anything. And Squarespace, over the past decade, has just added feature after feature on top of the gorgeous templates that are designed for mobile. And the drag and drop web design with their fluid engine is just perfect, easy to use. And you get built-in analytics, marketing channel analysis, sales data, all that stuff. Now, it goes beyond page views and site visits and time and all that. And with Squarespace, you can create an online store or you can start a blog. click of a button, right? Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. You can create a subscription business for members only content. You're seeing a lot of that out there. It's simple. It's cost effective. It's gorgeous. And they keep adding feature after feature after feature. That's when technology is at its best, isn't it? When you pay one price, but the product gets better and better and better. You get that with your Tesla. You get that with your iPhone. You get that with Squarespace. These are the legendary brands of the internet of this era. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, I want you to go to squarespace.com/twist. And they're going to give you 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Go to squarespace.com/twist because they know we sent you.
Okay. So the next one, this one, I couldn't convince a team to do a demo this week, but maybe you guys can install this one next week. But I want to talk about it because I think it's interesting.
Okay.
So this one's called Supermanage, supermanage.ai.
Okay.
And what it does is it goes through your Slack and figures out what everyone has done. And then it gives you the material to be ready for your one-on-ones.
Got it.
And, you know, I think this is really important. And like, this is, it takes a little bit of massaging to get this implemented with the team because it's like, hey, now, I've got to be more aware of it. But I really like sort of how they've talked about it here. I don't have the demo, but like maybe next week you guys install it and we can do it from your side. But, the thing is, the concept is really powerful because, you know, if you're within your company, everything that's happening is probably centered around Slack, hopefully. Yep. And so you should be able to pull from Slack what the conversations you need to have around contributions, challenges, engagement, and whatnot. And so basically, you know, they have a free package. You add it in up to 15 team members with one manager. And
okay,
you go from
so
there.
To be clear here, I install this on my Slack. And then it would go in, it would find every Slack message that producer Nick did. And we actually do something called SOD and EOD. Every day I ask people as remote workers, as part of the deal, you get to work remote and you get to do your own schedule, reasonably speaking. All I ask is that you do a stand-up meeting in the morning with your team and that you do an SOD and an EOD. SOD, 5 minutes, here's what I'm gonna work on today. And you share that with the team. So everybody knows what people are working on. So people are informed. And at the end of the day, you say what you reply to that and say what you get accomplished. And sometimes people put a little bit of filler in there and I have to like tell them like, don't put, I read my email. Don't, you know, like that's not an actual thing you got done. Yep. So I have to keep reminding people it's not for like little like everyday tasks. It's for things you're accomplishing, contributions that would change the fate of the company or in some way, right?
Yep.
So Supermanage looks for contributions. And then it summarizes them. And then it looks for challenges that people are having and it summarizes them. Yep. And then
engagement as well.
And engagement.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And so you like, look at this one. Based on the messages, Connie seems to be highly engaged and excited about their work.
Oh, so it's like that sentiment. Yeah.
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 I think it's really good.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I like this. And then what's going to happen that's going to be really awkward is it's going to turn into a Black Mirror episode where like producer Nick's going to know. Oh, you know, I've got to show more. It's going to be like Flair. Remember in Office Space? And they're like, you only want to wear 3 pieces of Flair. That's okay. But he's got 20 pieces of Flair. So now I've got Nick being like, oh my God, what a great day. OMG. Shout out to my peeps, you know, doing a great job. And he's going to just like write nonsense to get his engagement score up, you know?
Yeah.
Our team has good engagement.
And not tell the team. That's the other way.
Well, so I do think that. I do look at things that the team doesn't know I look at. Like I look at how many days people were on Slack. So I know who's 30 days out of 30 days. And I've shared it a couple of times, but I can tell who is super committed to the company based on, you know, if somebody, let's say we have 20 work days and somebody's not, like they were on Slack for 20 of the work days, but not the other 10 days. I start to worry, like, is this like a 9-to-5 type person? Now, they have to drill down because they could have had a week vacation. And yeah, it's your right to not be on Slack during the week. But I'll be honest, like, if you want to compete in venture, it's a 30 out of 30 day job. Like, I'm 30 of 30 every month. Nick's 29 or 30 out of 30. I mean, you could take a day off. You have a child born. You're at a wedding. Yeah. July 4th, I was off the grid for a week.
Yeah, but that's different. Yeah. But the real deals in venture, honestly, J. Cal, are happening outside the 9-to-5 hours.
Of course they are. Yes.
As my experience as an entrepreneur, very little of the real deals with investors and partners and, you know, all that is happening outside 9-to-5.
Yeah, it's happening at night or the weekends, right? They call you up. Hey, let's go for a walk. Hey, meet me at Phil's. Exactly. Let's get a coffee. Let's wrap this up on the weekend. Let's iron this out for Monday's meeting. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
So Super Manage, I'm going to give this, we don't know if it works. We haven't used it, but I'm going to give it, I'm going to evaluate it based on the idea. Yep. Based on the idea, it's a B plus. It's a B plus. This is something that I think will, again, we look at both of these, Trove and Super Manage. You can say to yourself, hey, this is going to be built in to these services. We have another employee engagement company called 15.5 that does OKRs.
I
remember
I was there when they got funded on stage.
Yeah. So 15.5 has done amazing, great founder, and it's a great company. They're going to need to incorporate some of this. So Super Manage will be going up against, like, say, 15.5 or other services. Yep. There's a couple of other ones that manage the OKR process and employee engagement or happiness.
Yep.
And what 15.5 does is it asks you a series of questions each week. Those roll up to your manager. Then your manager rolls up or their reports to, you know, the CEO, let's say. And, you know, you can highlight, like, hey, this is an interesting response. And people really love using it. So again, some people don't like this stuff because they're like, I'm a high performer. Why are you making me talk about nonsense? Like, so there's a hardcore samurai group that are just like, you know, I did my job. There's blood on my sword. Go watch the tape if you want to see me murder everybody who tried to attack the village at the end.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's it. Like, so there are some people who find this kind of stuff offensive on its face. What I find it to be is accountability to each other. And that's what I try to, you know, that's what I try to encourage people is like, hey, if you're sharing this stuff, it's great. But, you know, sentiment is also nonsense. So, you know, like the sentiment stuff, I'm not crazy about because, again,
really? Okay.
I mean, I guess it could, you know, theoretically, but, you know, some of the best people I've ever worked with are sarcastic, you know, gnarly, cantankerous. And those are like, you know, literally high performers sometimes are, you know, sardonic, sarcastic.
Yeah. Yeah, you're saying just the AI is going to put them into this bucket, and it's not necessarily that they're burning out or they're bad teammates.
They're just being themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Usually, you know, the 10x engineers have all those qualities that you're talking about.
So, like, you just have to be careful. Like, sometimes people who are like the popular person at the office, at the water cooler, and they, you know, get everybody to laugh or whatever, they're actually not getting GSDing. They're not getting stuff done.
I'd go even further, Jason. I would say
producer Nick checking in. Here we go.
Negative sentiment is, I would say, sometimes a positive indicator. The most negative person I know consistently at launch is maybe the highest, the two actually that are usually, like, you know, not sky is falling, but are very concerned with things going wrong are Ashley and Jackie. And they
are probably
your two highest performers at this company, objectively speaking.
Ashley and Jackie are two managing directors. One's been with me for 10 years. One was with me 9 years. And it does say something about me as a manager. I like people. Again, all leadership is top down. I like people in my org who are like, we could do better. Or this person is good, but not great. You know, so they're kind of like standard bearers, Ashley and Jackie, for me. Shout out to managing directors, Ashley and Jackie, because they'll just be like, you know what? I think this founder is insincere and, you know, they've been negotiating this stuff not in good faith. I think we maybe should pass on this investment because the diligence process was, you know, like, I didn't get the sense of honesty from this founder. Like, this happened, like, you know, multiple times in the last decade where they correctly pointed out and I overrode them and made the investment. And they were like, see, this founder was brutal during the diligence process and negotiating the term sheet. And now look, the company. Now, most companies fail, so you don't get credit for it failing, but they did predict correctly downstream issues. And I said, listen, this is a sins of omission business. I hear what you're saying. Person's a difficult founder. You have some pink or red flags. I'm going to make the 100K, 250K bet anyway, in the case that this is a person who is difficult to get along with, but a high performer. And in both, I think in both cases that happened, they were right. I was wrong.
Or we get rated a 9 out of 10 by a founder or by someone who goes to an event. And instead of saying, great job, everybody, 9 out of 10 is a great score, they say, why wasn't it a 10? What was wrong with us? Why didn't we get a 10? How do we fix that?
Why didn't we get the
10?
Yeah. What could be better? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think so. You have to be careful with that. But okay. So great to the super managed people. I'm going to try it, actually. I want to try it. And I did see that Slack has made an announcement about an AI product that will remind you of what.
Salesforce since you've been gone? You're right. But Salesforce
there is something across the board.
There's a bunch of these. Yeah.
Yeah, recapping channels. Slack's AI tool can recap channels and threads starting testing this winter. Slack, I'm reading from The Verge here. Slack AI can do things like summarize channel discussions, which Zoom has been doing for a month now, threads, and search for answers in relevant messages, files, and channels. So I think that those recaps are going to be really good. So if you get to a channel and it's like, here's what's been going on the past week, that could be very powerful. I agree with that. It's like a very powerful, obvious tool. This is slightly different. And then, you know, it's going to be like generative AI in Slack. Anybody who's got chat should have all this stuff built in. So like the fact that there's not a DALL-E competitor built into Slack and we're not asking for it to do stuff inside of Slack, like this could make Slack, this could breathe new life into Slack if they get AI right. It could make Slack really sticky. Like,
or Slack, someone could finally take them out.
Or somebody could take them out. Right. If somebody built an AI first version of Slack, I would fund that easily. Yep. If somebody wants to make an AI version of Slack, here's what it needs to do. It needs to start me with pointing me to the discussions that are occurring. So when I open up Slack, it's like Nick and, you know, Matt and Jackie were discussing a new series for this week in startup based on AI. And they're discussing, you know, potential advertisers, guests, and formats. Click here to join the discussion. Like, it would actually be summarizing their discussions in real time. That would be incredibly powerful for a manager of a company with, you know, anything more than 20, 30, 40 employees. You would, because you can't keep up with all the discussions, like a top level thing. So you basically start from the top level experience and then you drill down. That would be super powerful.
Another great example of negative sentiment, Matt Kotler. What does he always want? More inventory. We don't have enough inventory. I need to sell more. I need more. I need more. Always.
Well, yeah, right, exactly. Yes. Yeah. I mean, listen, the people who one might interpret as irritable or cantankerous, another person might interpret them as being a perfectionist or demanding excellence. And that's, I think, you know, if you describe the three people you described in our organization, they just, they're pursuing excellence. That's all. And for people who are mids view pursuit of excellence as this person's a negative, this person's too negative, this, you know, whatever. You know, like that's how you know a mid.
Yeah.
And that's how you know a high performer. A high performer is like, great, we got a 9. How do we get a 10? Great. Yep. We sold out for 3 months in advance. How do we raise prices and get to sold out for 4 months in advance? How, you know, whatever it is, just don't accept reality and just, you know, but you can, you can celebrate. And I like to celebrate excellence. Take a minute, pop the champagne corks. Great job, everybody. Now, what lessons did we learn for next year? Boom. Which is why I take negative feedback and I put it in a document called Lessons Learned, not We're Idiots. Okay. So we used to have a document, Nick, when I did Lessons Learned after each event. It used to be like the mistake tracker or problem tracker.
Yeah. Or like the anti-portfolio, you know, people have done that.
And so I reframed it. Instead of it being mistakes, the mistake tracker, when things we screwed up, tracker, which is how I used to say it, I said lessons learned.
Learned. Yep.
Framing matters, right? So it just, it gave people permission to say, hey, I learned this lesson at this event. You know, though people didn't know there was a VIP downstairs, so they missed it. Or the lines were too long at the VIP food. We should have had twice as many stations and spread it out, right? This venue was too cramped. Like the first night's venue cramped. Lesson learned. Yeah. Great. The other two ones were huge venues. All right. You know, I've been on a health kick over the past year, and you know, I care about data-driven solutions. And if you listen to this podcast, I bet you do too. So let me tell you about Fitbod. This is a data-driven workout app that blends machine learning with exercise science. Fitbod creates custom dynamic workouts programs based on your fitness goals, your experience, and most interestingly to me, the available equipment. Let's say you got a bunch of kettlebells, or let's say you're at some, you know, sparse gym at a hotel, or you're on vacation, you got nothing. Well, Fitbod will maximize your fitness gains by varying the intensity and the volume between your sessions and leverage the equipment you have or don't have, as the case may be. You can customize the length of your workout, what muscles you want to target, and so much more. So let's say you want to get a 30-minute workout in, and I want to do chest, triceps, and abs. But I'm staying at an Airbnb. There's no equipment. Fitbod can create a perfectly optimized workout for me based on these parameters, and it'll do it for you too. Check it out. It's amazing. The design of this app is extraordinary. I was able to invest in it. That's how impressed I was with it. Fitbod takes the guesswork out of fitness. Just open the app and start making progress. You deserve it. Get 25% off your Fitbod subscription or try out the app for free when you sign up now at fitbod.me/twist. That's fitbod.me/twist for 25% off. All right, multimodal, Sunny, Madra,
yep.
The bestie, is something that I just got on my phone. It's unbelievable. It works. I saw Robert Scoble take a picture of his spice cabinet and say, what's in here?
Yeah.
Made a pretty perfect list. And I'm just like, you know what? There are people who like organize your cabinets and they cost $150 an hour and rich people pay for this nonsense to come and like do their spice thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can just take a picture. I encourage everybody to do it. ChatGPT-4, shout out Sam Altman and Greg and everybody over there. Take a picture of a spice drawer. It will tell you what's in there. Pretty great.
Yep.
Now you know what spices you have, you know, in your cabinet. And then you can say, I have chicken. What can I do with these spices? So Robert Scoble did that tweet. It worked great. Fantastic. Let's keep going here. What's going on with multimodal? Multiple different input types, multiple different
types. Let me tee this one up for you guys, and then you guys can react to it.
Go ahead, producer. Yeah. Yeah. Shout out, producer Nick.
Last week, Box CEO and founder Aaron Levy tweeted this.
Shout out, Aaron. Let's have him back on.
Of a landing page.
And this was their own product, by the way, right?
Yeah. And he said, please suggest 10 ways to improve this interface for usability. And ChatGPT gave it back, you know, a bunch of, you know, you could do breadcrumbs navigation, a unified search bar, file preview. So I interpreted that for us. And on This Week in Startups, we just built.
Oh, the new homepage?
Exactly. Yeah. Basically, I just posted the screenshot in there and I said, this is a landing page of a website for a podcast on tech startups. Please suggest 10 ways to improve this interface to maximize engagement from viewers and SEO.
Two things I always say. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'll just let you, can you read these?
Yes. There's a prominent call to action. Enhance availability of CTA such as subscribe or listen. That was my number one thing that I was yelling at you guys about. Provide short audio video snippets, teasers. That's a great idea. Expand the episode descriptions with more keywords. Okay, that's pretty good. Episode description. Interactive search, we have that. Social sharing. Yeah, we don't have social sharing buttons. User reviews and ratings, that's a great idea. Personalized recommendations, it's a really good idea. Engage with community. Okay, it's a solid idea. Mobile responses. Sure. Yeah, these are all great suggestions.
This was just for the landing page of the actual website. Then we went one step further. And on the sales meeting today, we were like, how can we make this new website that we're building better for partners? So I took a screenshot of a specific episode page, right? So here's an episode page. The last one you saw was the actual main homepage. This is an episode page from last week.
Yep.
Right. And I said, my team produces a podcast about startups and technology. Every episode gets its own web page on our main website. Here's a screenshot from the most recent episode's page. We have 3 advertisers per episode and would like to feature their logos and offers on each episode page without having it be overbearing, but making it noticeable. Can you please suggest some ideas on how we could integrate 3 advertising logos and offers given the current layout of the page?
Oh.
So here are the ideas.
Sponsor ribbon, sidebar integration, table of contents integration. Great idea.
I love this one. Interstitial design. As users scroll through the transcript, every few sections, you can integrate a horizontal bar with one of the sponsors' logos and offers.
That's what we need, a gentle
reminder without being too intrusive. That's a great suggestion.
I mean, it's literally, if you hired somebody for $90 an hour, a UX designer, this is what they would say. What's really the magic of ChatGPT and large language models, I think, Nick, is we spent the last 20 years of everybody trying to showcase their knowledge in order to get work. Every service person, whether you're a VC in service or a lawyer, accountant, UX designer, you wrote blog posts. Here's how to make a perfect landing page. Here's how to make a podcast landing page, whatever. ChatGPT has now put all that knowledge in. It knows how to spit it back out to you in a very organized fashion, tailored to you. And all of those service people who tried to make content in order to get customers have now sealed their own fate. They have now killed their business by sharing so much information. The people who would have hired you do not need you. Congratulations, everybody.
I saw a tweet this
morning. This is pure job destruction.
I saw a tweet this morning that said, you know, like a little bit of an expansion on that, that like Sam Altman, OpenAI took all the internet and basically made an API for it.
Yes.
And basically charges you to consume it.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's like
they stole everybody's knowledge.
Yeah.
And now they're charging you $20 a month for it. They've basically
access it one query at a time.
One query at a time. Right. But there's a free version of ChatGPT. So in fact, they made it free for everybody. You only have to pay for the enhanced
features. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair point.
I mean, I can't imagine at this dollar level $20 a month, that people are not going to own two or three of these, even with the throttling. Like, it's so affordable to have this.
Yeah.
That I just told everybody to buy it for $20. So we have $400 a month right now. I think maybe three people in my company are using it. Like,
yeah.
Literally, like Nick's using it, Presh is using it, I use it. I don't know if anybody else in the company's using
it. You got to get on the enterprise so that you get them on enterprise so you can see everyone's usage.
Yes. Just
right?
Like, and I then see it's like everybody's usage in Slack. And then I can be like, hey, we need to get these 10 people to use it. That's not, I don't use shame to use it. I use professional development. So what I do is I look for the people. I just say, hey, listen, have you done an email sequence? Have you used ChatGPT? Just be honest, yes or no. Did you use it this week? People say no. I'm like, okay, this person's going to do a Zoom call on Friday. Please join it.
Yeah.
And I just try to put a bunch of carrots out there and like, you know, very few
you
sticks.
You know what the intersection is? Like going back to that Slack idea for a second.
Yeah.
If you created like a, you know, AI native Slack, every time that you're typing something, it would just prompt you in there to be like, hey, let me help you with this. And then like,
yes. The co-pilot in Slack
would
take the people who are the laggards. And I would say half my company is laggards. No offense, but you know, and they all listen to the pod. So I don't mind talking to them publicly because I accept it. But everybody who in my company who works for me, who's a laggard, just like make your default screen ChatGPT-4. Put on your home screen of your iPhone, the ChatGPT-4 app. Once it's on your home screen or it's in your dock, you know, it's kind of like auto loading Slack in the morning.
You can even do it as a widget on your lock screen if you want.
Make it a widget. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a really cool idea. Like, oh, here are things in the company. Remember we talked about the negative sentiment? Hey, here are things that, you know, Jackie, Matt, and Ashley are noting or complaining about. Here are some solutions for that. Here are some strategies, right?
Yeah.
Like one of the things I've been trying to get my team to do is, you know, you watch Y Combinator and they are super chatty about their portfolio companies and they kind of do it as a group. So they must be in a in a group chat where they're like, hey, I'm going to talk about this company. And they just know to amplify and reply to each other to get that signal up. And Gary Tan's amazing at it. And I'm telling my team, like, I'm the only person in our company talking about our companies. Every day, I want a blog post starting today. This is my tirade this weekend.
Okay.
I want every day, 250 days a year, somebody on the investment team to write a blog post about our companies on the Launch blog or the Founding University blog. And it doesn't have to be a long blog post. And you can do it in ChatGPT. Yeah. You know, just, hey, here's
make
the company. Here's
screenshot. Make it an X thread.
And then make it an X Twitter thread. And then put it on your LinkedIn. And then I had to tell everybody, please make your accounts professional. We don't need your pronouns in your profile.
Yeah.
You know, like if you work for me, you don't need to put your pronouns in there. Yeah. You don't need to put whatever else in there. Just like, please focus your social media on being an investor.
Yes.
If you're on the investment team, it's not too much to ask. Like, it's a pretty dope job. Yeah. Your social media presence needs to be serious.
Yeah. Private Instagram account if you need that stuff. That's what you can do.
Yeah. That's, I think, X is for pro. LinkedIn is professionalism. Be a professional. If you can't be a professional, don't be on the investment team. Like, you need to invest in this, right? I don't know how you feel about pronouns in your bio for business people.
I mean, I don't tell people to take them out, but I will say, like, if I see
tell
them
somebody
in someone,
on my team, I thought it looked silly.
Yeah.
And I don't think it looks professional.
That's a better way to say it. But when I do see someone that I'm working with, like, say, like, as a potential customer partner, it does, it in my mind, I go, you know, like,
yes, like, it just like, it's, it would be like me being like in my profile, whatever I'm, you know, when I put that I was for Bloomberg, I changed my avatar to Bloomberg and I put my Bloomberg thing. And my Lord, I had advertisers, I had partners, LPs, founders, everybody in my orbit. You're going to get Trump reelected. You're splitting the vote from Biden. You remember how charged up it was?
It was a tough couple of months.
And I was like, you know what? I'm leaving it. And then I thought about it afterwards and I was like, you know what? The world does not need to hear me as a business chime in on everything.
Yeah.
Full stop. Yeah. Right? Like Coinbase kind of approach.
Yeah.
So like, we don't need to take a professional stand on everything. Some things, sure, there'll be time for that.
Yeah.
But you don't need to take a professional stand on everything.
ChatGPT multimodal UI grades from both of you on it.
Hmm. Let me see. If I were to hire somebody and pay them $100 an hour, I would have felt very good if I paid $1,000 to a UX developer $100 an hour.
10 hours. If in 10 hours they give
you
that feedback.
If in 10 hours they gave me that in their report back, I would say, yeah, you know, I think two or three of these are really actionable. Let's do it. Thank you. Here's $1,000. Now, I wouldn't pay $10,000 for that information, but I would have paid $1,000.
Yeah.
And I know somebody who's like from a big corporation would have paid $25,000. But for me, I would pay 5 to 10 hours at $100 an hour, $75 an hour for that. And I got it for free. It's an A plus. That is one of the best things I've ever seen ChatGPT do. I'll be honest. What do you give it? Okay. Look at me with my grades today. I'm just so people don't think I'm a jerk. I'm willing to give an A plus if I think the value is there. That would save me from finding the consultant, 2 weeks of nonsense and mashugana, and then it saved me $1,000. If I could save $1,000, that even for JCal, saving $1,000, it's meaningful for me.
Adds up. Yeah, I'm at like an A minus. What I want to see, you know, like going back to the calculator demo, I want to see you be able to implement it for you as well.
I'm going to restate. I'm going to give an A. I'm not giving the plus. I'm saving the plus for that. You're right.
Because there is a, and do it for me.
Okay, yeah, good. Like, we give them something to work on. You give it A minus, I give it A. That's the first time we've had a flip.
We've been,
the first time we flipped. All right, give me one more demo.
Okay. Can I, before I do the demo, I actually want to give you a shout out on your ads team because we were just talking about it.
Okay. Shout out.
So, you know, sometimes I go back and watch the episodes you know, for improvement or just see things like that. I kept seeing Vanta and, you know, I've known about them for a long time. We actually tried to use them in my previous company. They were pretty early on, but because I kept seeing them there, I actually used them and we're in deep in a process with them and they're incredible. So they're doing our SOC 2 compliance.
Shout out to the Vanta team.
So, and great really. Company. I know they're a big advertiser, so it works to your sales
Here's
team
the thing. What I tell people is if your product, an ad on This Week in Startups is only $5,000. I've kept the price the same forever. You know, it's almost $5,000
a month.
$5,000 per ad. So if you do, you know, 10 ads is $50,000. The minimum ad buy is five ads. So to be engaged is $25,000. The reason we do that and we have a minimum of five is people would do one ad. Let's say you're on an episode and
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of people listen to that episode. And then there's another episode that breaks out. You got to take a portfolio approach.
You don't get an ROI on one.
But if you do five, a minimum of five, and one person buys your product, and your product costs $500 a month or more, that's where I tell people, like, it's kind of a no-brainer if it's a product that business people use. Because if you spend $50,000 on ads, and your product is $500 a month, it's $6,000. And over the next 3 years, that one customer is going to be $18,000. So one customer equals essentially 18 of 25 is pretty much break even. If you can attribute one, there's probably two more, right? Because you can usually only attribute one in five or one in 10. Most people don't use the URL. But like you heard Vanta, LinkedIn jobs, LinkedIn jobs, LinkedIn jobs. You're like, okay, frick it. I'm going to test it.
Well, I said, let me go back to it because they're a little bit early in my first company, but now, and I have to say they've done a great job. And so it was really
incredible.
And you're
going to spend probably 25 or 50 with them.
Easy over time.
And so it's pretty easy to justify the ads. Now, what I do tell people is if you're Audible and your product is only $12 for a book, you know, I tell the Audible team, like, you know, I don't know, maybe Tim Ferriss is a better podcast, like something that's less niche. You know, for a wider audience, maybe do Tim's podcast or Joe Rogan's because Bill Simmons might be better, although they're on Spotify and they do audiobooks now. But sometimes they still do it because they're like, we just love you reading the ads. It's like a branding thing for us. Okay, sure. Branding, I get it. You want to be affiliated. Totally. But, you know, if it's $25,000, you need to sell 2,000 books to hit break even, or maybe you have to attribute 500 books. That's kind of a hard. That's a hard thing to kind of do if you're a ROI-based advertiser. So what you want to do...
I like that math. That's helpful.
Because I don't want people... My nightmare is people complaining they bought ads. So like we've had startups buy ads to try to get to me. I'm like, no, do not take their money. If it's a seed stage startup, don't take their money. What I do is for our startups, 3 or 4 times we've had a little bit of extra inventory, like especially over the, you know, 2022 when people were cutting things, all of a sudden we had some people asked to move their ads. So we let them, we had a company go out of business, you know, that kind of stuff. And I just gave the ads for half price to our founders on a first come first served basis. And they grabbed them. And I was like, okay, but just so you know, like, don't do this if, you know, like as a favor to me, I'm just, and these are companies that, you know, have 10 million in revenue. So it's worth it for them.
Awesome.
Part of their mix. Great. But anyway, so shout
last
out to
demo.
Them. Yeah.
I wanted to give last a shout demo. Out to the team. Thank all right, you. Last demo.
Vanta.com/twist to get $1,000 off your sock if you pay about $1,000. That's the problem is most of my audience is so well healed, you don't care about saving $500 or $1,000.
I didn't even use the code. We should have used
course,
the code.
Of course, Vanta.com/twist.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So back in Google, they've been doing amazing things. And what we're going to talk about here is, so I just did an image search.
Okay.
For Halloween table settings, right?
Great. Sure.
And, you know, you typically get you know, the same set of things here. But what you're going to find is as we scroll, mm-hmm. a little window here.
Oh.
And this little window says, create something new. See, brand new images generated by AI.
What?
So if I hit this,
this is in images?
This is in Google search when you go to images.
How did you
search
find for this? This is new. And
this is what we do here,
Jake. This is what we do. Look at this. brand new images generated with AI. This is sick. This is DALL-E.
Yes.
And so
you had said this a little bit earlier. And so you're I couldn't transition right at that point, but you're saying that all these things need to be integrated in the product. So they've done an incredible job here. So these are on the left hand side for those listening. These are images that Google has picked up through its crawl process. But on the right hand side now, I have images that were generated by their image generator, which is, you know, likely Palm or something like that. So, very, very cool, super handy. It's limited in some ways. Like, you know, we were kind of doing some demo this morning and I think Nick wanted like a New York Yankees one. It wouldn't do it. So it's obviously it's more aware of copyrights and other things like that. But, I've tried just a couple little demos. Jayco, you can try one, but it's, I thought it was really nicely done and how they've inserted it right into their existing product, which is
crazy. So click huge. I want to see the results.
Where is the image? On the right hand side, right here on the right. These are all the generated ones on the right.
Oh, sorry. I had my Zoom screen. So look at this. A Halloween setting that features a green tablecloth, orange dinnerware, and candles in the shape of jack-o'-lanterns. Yeah. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, and then you can click through these ones
here.
Holy cow.
Okay, shout out to my guy. Yeah. I just want to say shout out to my guy, Sundar Pichai. I was just talking to him. He listens to the pod. I saw him at a social event. He said to me, you're everywhere, J. Cal. I said, Sundar knows J. Cal. Okay. I'd met him before, but I always assume people don't know me or hate me. That's my own little neuroses. I'm like, either this person hates me, or they don't know.
That's actually quite true. As your friend on the outside, that's pretty true. That's a good, you know, categorization.
Do people not know me, or they're like, "F and J Cal"?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, the good news is anybody who knows me says to the person, "Oh no, he's great. He's just he's got big opinions," and they're like, "Really? He is great? Yeah. Okay, I'll give him a shot." But anyway, Sundar, I gave you very candid advice in person. And I told the teams, C-, D+, the ratings were very low for me.
Okay.
With good reason. You're putting out stuff that was incredibly low quality, which I understand. You gotta get stuff in mark and get feedback. This right here, this is, you ready for my score?
Let's hear it.
It's not an A. It's not an A. It's an A+.
First perfect score.
Whoa.
This is A+. Whoever on the Google team made this. This is A+ with a plus for extra credit. Why? Not only are the results great, but conceptually, this is perfect. It's perfect because you don't have to change the user's behavior and you're gently communicating to them. Whoever wrote the copy here, create something new, see brand new images generated with AI. This is chef's kiss. You're not forcing it down people's throat. You're kind of just giving them like, hey, there's a little option over here. It's kind of like, hey, there's a tasting menu. You don't have to do the tasting menu. It's over here on the side. If you want it, you take it. Or you could do omakase, trust me. But you don't have to do it. Wonderful. What a killer idea. This is what
and then
Google
you can
Flight
go into
should be.
An edit workflow, and if you want to change it up,
so they've even done better. It all nice. Look at this. Yeah. So you can change the prompt.
Exactly. And then regenerate it. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, let me tell you something. If you're over at ChatGPT-4 and you're OpenAI and you're Bing, game on. Game on. Because Google has billions of users and it's game on. This is how Flight should work. When you're doing a Google Flight search or a Gmail search, it should do a little thing saying, hey, here's some other things you can do at Google Flights. Ask Google Flights to find me a first class ticket to somewhere that has warm water during, you know, January 15th to January 30th. Find me the best business class seat and affordable hotel where I can have the best chance at deep powder skiing February 15th to 30th. And it's like, hey, Niseko, hey here. That's what we need. Sundar. And that's where each of these product heads, on Monday, the image team comes in. Tuesday, the shopping team comes in. Wednesday, the Gmail team comes in. Thursday, the YouTube team comes in. And Friday, you know, whatever team comes in.
Enterprise, GCP.
Enterprise comes in.
Yeah.
And every day, 8 a.m. in Sundar's office, not 9 a.m. or 10 a.m., 8 a.m. And you got to be there at 7:45 to set up your demo. 8 a.m., Sundar walks in the room. Last week's progress was X. This week's progress is Y. Go. And then if somebody comes 3 weeks in a row and it's not getting dramatically different, you have to just do what Steve Jobs did. You ask the next lieutenant, what should this look like? The person tells you what it should look like. You say, great, make that. And then you look at the other person. You work for him. You work for her. That's it. You're in charge now. Sundar, this is red alert. This is DEF CON. What's the highest DEF CON?
DEF CON 5. Four, it goes, DEF CON 4 or 5.
It goes up, yeah. Right?
Yeah, it goes up. Yeah.
Yeah. This is DEF CON 4. Like, yeah. You, and this is great work. So shout out your first A+ to the people at Google. The C students have gotten an A+. Yeah. What do you give it? What do you give it?
I mean, I'm the same way. They're moving like A+, like you said, integrated right in the product. You don't even have to do anything separate. You can iterate from there. You don't have to, you know, a lot of times when you're in Google search images, you're worried about copyrights and all kinds of other things. Now you can get inspiration from the images around you. Fantastic. I'm the same as you. I think right integrated right in.
Really I'm seeing this all over the place. You know why? A lot of the people who are doing the All In Summit 150th episode, which is next weekend, I think, or this weekend, actually.
This weekend.
A lot of those folks are making their own artwork. And I can tell it's like DALL-E or ChatGPT-4. Yeah. So like the Stockholm one had a beautiful image of a bunch of dorks, you know, hanging out, dressed like they're in the Great Gatsby and, you know, in some famous Stockholm city image. So I can tell. All right.
DEF CON 1 is the highest level. It means nuclear war is imminent or has already begun.
This is DEF CON 1, Sundar. And anybody comes in and they're treating it like DEF CON 5 or 4 or 3. It's DEF CON 1 for Google. Take it serious, folks. And if you can't take it serious, Sundar, you have my permission. Out the door. Out the door. Nobody ever gets fired at Google. Now it's time to start firing people.
Is the
you
J
come 2 weeks in a row without progress, done.
Increase the J trading position.
I you know, listen, I might have to make a J trade on this. I might make a J trade. I may make a J trade on Snapchat. I was talking to somebody on Snap. Snap's engagement is incredible. And they keep growing.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a look at Snap. This is one of my things I'm going to do this week is look at Snap. I'm going to, you know what? I haven't traded on my J trade portfolio because I'm very happy with the performance of everything except for Disney and Warner Brothers, which I might double down on now that that activist investor just bought a bunch. It might be time to double down, or I might be just keep buying into the crash. This could be bad consumer behavior. So we should actually do some J trades together here on the show based on AI.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Next week, we'll do a J trade. All right, everybody. This has been another amazing episode. If you need help with your AI strategy and you're a large corporation with large data sets, you need to use Definitive AI. I'm an investor. Sandeep is a genius, as you all know. Go to definitive.io. Yeah. You go to definitive.io or your email, sunny@definitive.io. It's absurdly expensive to work with this firm, but they're the best. And if you need a partner, that's the partnership. But it's only mid six figures or higher. So if you're looking to do something for 25K, no. But if it's 500K engagement or higher and you're doing something legit, he's got, what do you got, 40, 50 geniuses over there now?
How many geniuses? We got a lot of AI now. So,
okay. So 20, 30 geniuses over there. Yeah. I can't say the name of your customers because they don't want to talk about it, but I know
they don't. Yes.
If you would like to look at the Fortune 500, bing, 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 a bunch of things would light up.
That's it.
I'm going to make so much money. What did I put? I put 250 into this?
You did.
How many besties did you get?
All of them.
Four.
But 4 for 4 from the podcast, but even our chat group, you know,
we got full coverage. There too. Yeah, full coverage. Yeah. People don't know this, but Sunny is the only company that I know of that has 4 of 4 besties. Cafe X has 3 of 4. Cafe X, Sachs, Chamath, and I all put money in Cafe X.
Freeberg didn't do it. Wow, that's crazy.
Well, I didn't know Freeberg back then when we were doing the funding, but Freeberg did do Itza. And I think I did talk to Freeberg about it, and he thought it was competitive with Itza, which I gave him the best piece of advice ever. Itza was all, it was like they were trying to do automated food and it was like these incredible quinoa bowls. That's where the name Queen of Quinoa came from. You used to come to a poker game and talk about quinoa. And I was like, oh, look, it's the Queen of Quinoa, which I got from the Queen of California, John Mayer song on the album Born and Raised. Because I happened to be listening to it at the time he walked in. Oh, I said, oh, the Queen of Quinoa's here. I told him, listen, I know you want the world to eat quinoa. Here's a way to get them to do it. Flank steak, short rib, salmon with rare inside seared salmon, cod, miso cod, and barbecue chicken. Barbecue chicken. Roast barbecue with sesame. Roast sesame. I gave him how to do it. Company didn't work out. But people I knew who were going to go there, they wanted to eat protein. And then if you want to sneak the quinoa in, you put some short rib in there.
Yeah.
Put a little seared tuna. You would have sold a lot more of that quinoa. You gotta pull people into vegetarianism. You can't force them. Anyway, lesson learned for everybody. All right, everybody. See you next time. Bye-bye.